About anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guest in just a few moments, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1 again. Psalm 112. Starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that your word guides us, empowers us, directs us, molds and shapes us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with every passing day. Father, as we continue to move forward in this brand new year, Lord, stir us to just grow in our love for your word and our commitment to read and meditate on it daily and to walk in its wisdom each and every day. And help us to be faithful, not only to do it in our own lives, but help us, Lord, to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same, and our grandchildren, and to encourage others, other brothers and sisters in Christ, and point other people to your precious word each and every day as well. We thank you. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, thanks for joining us here on the Hour of Intercession. I'd like to remind you once again, please take time to go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com. We invite you to go there and subscribe, and hope you'll take time to read some of the articles that you'll find there, articles that help you grow in your understanding of how to apply the Word of God and how to live out your faith in our culture and in the world. Also, I'd like to remind you that we want to encourage you to get our free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. Simply go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk, download them in. That way you can take us wherever you just may go. We'd appreciate if you take time to do that. And please go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. We hope you'll take the time to do that as well. We're honored and pleased today here on the day that we celebrate the life of the servant of the Lord, Dr. Martin Luther King. We're honored to have as our guest, Dr. Johnny M. Hunter. Dr. Hunter is the well, he's a lot of things, but in particular, he is the National Director of LEARN, which stands for Life Education and Research Network, but also he's the pastor of worship at Cliffdale Community Church. He happens to be an individual who was the recipient of the Dr. Martin Luther King Religious Leadership Award, a graduate of Hampton Institute, and I could go on and on with just a number of honorary things we could share about Dr. Hunter, but I've had the privilege of knowing him for quite a few years, and he's been an advocate for the kingdom of God and for life for many, many years. Dr. Hunter, how are you today?
Praise the Lord, Reverend. And I tell you, it's so good to see you, Joseph Parker. It's always a joy to be with you, and it's good to be on the Hour of Intercession today.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us. And, you know, I think of this that, again, in many regards, I like to refer to you as being the Dr. Martin Luther King of the life issue, in that that's something that you've stood for just courageously for years and years, and God has used you mightily, and you've been through a lot, but you've been an advocate, and God continues to use you up to this day. So again, thank you for taking the time to be on. But would you take a few minutes just to further introduce yourself to our listeners, Dr. Hunter?
Yes. Well, like you just said, I am an activist. I'm a civil rights activist from days gone by, years old. I was a radical before I was saved and stayed radical after I got saved. What God does is like being on a football team. You know, if you got a real good kicker and he changes teams, they don't take away how well he kicked. They just take it from the direction in which he's kicking.
Right.
You know. And so it is when you come to the Lord. You know, as bad as I was and as wicked as I was, evil, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that actually saved me from my sins and my transgressions. But when he saved me, it didn't stop me from kicking. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a graduate of Hampton Institute. I'm a graduate of the class of 71. Most people don't know too much about that class. It was a radical class. It was a class that was not able to march down the aisle, nor did we get our graduation papers. We were so radical that they literally sent us home months ahead of the graduation just to get us off campus,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we did it because there were things we wanted to see change. You know, it was while I was in college that Dr. Martin Luther King was actually killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was a sad night for us. In fact, we was coming back from a bus trip from our band coming from Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. the kinds of things that was going on. And I remember this one sister looking at me on that station wagon I was driving in. Most people was in the band bus, which was filled up. And this young black sister, she had her black thing. I mean, that sister was all Afrocentric. And, you know, I remember her looking at me saying, you know, men like you could take his place one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought then, and I still think now, no, we can't. But each one of us can be our own activist in our own thing. The sister turned out to be a little bit more right than I ever did. She says, you're the kind of man, I believe that you will go to jail for what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that King really spelled out, that a lot of people don't realize that unless you found a cause for which you're willing to die,
mm-hmm.
you haven't lived yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do have a cause for which I'm willing to die. And I do have a cause for which I've been to jail many times.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I won every one of my cases. The thing to remember is that there was one thing that King really emphasized, and that was being peaceful and nonviolent.
Right.
And mm-hmm. the reason the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in Buffalo, New York, presented me with Dr. Martin Luther King Religious Leadership Award, because of all the activism I had, even when we got over 1,000 and some people on the street, mm-hmm. not one of our people ever committed a violent act.
That's good.
We always did it. Martin Luther King had a powerful, he has so many quotes out there, it's wonderful, but they all line up with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He said, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend.
That's right, that's right.
You know, mm-hmm. and that's something we got to remember. Love is a powerful thing. You know, and when Jesus talked about it, he didn't just say love your friends, he said love your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be difficult at times. You know, and my heart goes out to folks who are, even in church, who are pilly-dillying over little stuff. Oh, sister so-and-so said something about behind my back. Mm-hmm. Love that sister. Love that sister.
That's
you know,
right.
there comes a time if we as people would just learn to just let some things go
mm-hmm.
and just keep on loving each other, it'll help us be united. But then that love reaches across the aisle, not just only in the black community, but across the white community. The white community love and reaching to the black community
mm-hmm.
and the Asian community. And when we start expressing love and it starts going out, it means a lot. It could transform this whole nation.
That's right. That's right.
So love is very transforming. So, you know, of all days, you know, God blessed us. It was in January. In fact, it was January 15th, in 1929, that God blessed this nation, a child that was born,
mm-hmm.
and his father named him after him, Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And that man lived up to his name. That's a powerful name.
Mm-hmm.
And both of his names come from powerful people. I won't go into that just for time's sake, but nevertheless, he made a legacy of his own,
That's right.
I don't think it's a legacy that can be fulfilled very easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, one of the greatest orator is this. I look at Dr. Lavon Ewell. He's just mm-hmm. a great an orator.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Ewell is like the, you know, he's older than I am. He's been more involved than I have. It was in 1989, Dr. Lavon Ewell and his church did a sit-in at an abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit a sit-in, and they went to jail for it. And the media was told to keep it out of the press so black people would know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to me, a person like Dr. LaVon Ewell, that's the mold of Dr. Martin Luther King for this day.
Mm, that's powerful. That's powerful. Well, you know, Dr. King, I mean, Dr. Hunter, I want to ask you this. You know, tragically, we live in a culture that is different in so many ways from the way it was just a few decades ago, and of course, obviously in Dr. King's time and life as well. But specifically, you've been dealing with the civil rights issue that sadly you have plenty of people that don't seem to even see the issue as being a civil rights issue. Would you talk about that?
Yes, you know, if Dr. King has so many quotes. There are things we're being silent about.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something. He said, in the end, he said, we're going to remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there
mm-hmm.
are some things the church has been kind of quiet about, and it should not be. And one of them is the taking of innocent life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about a preborn child in the mother's womb. The thing I love best about the civil rights era, especially during the 60s when they had those young... When those young activists going down in Birmingham, Alabama, when those young students came out of their schools, said, we ain't afraid of your dogs, we ain't afraid of your jail. There was something that one of the colleges wrote, and I saw it at the Birmingham Institute, at the museum they had. And it was so profound. They said, we do this not for ourselves, but for our fellow Negro brothers and sisters yet to be born.
Mm-hmm.
What an unselfish act. Everything they were doing had nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about them. It was for the generation that was yet to be born.
That's right.
And somewhere along the way, we've lost that. And there's a movie out called a powerful documentary, Marfa 21, Black Genocide in 21st Century America. And it shows something that's very, very scary.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time that blacks was held as slaves and we became free. And you would think with us being free, things would have got a lot better, but they didn't get better.
Mm-hmm.
Our enemies still went after them. And even to this day, they decide the best way that this nation was better off if black people were dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had people like Margaret Sanger who really started organizations, you know, the American Birth Control League, determined to really make sure that black people do not repopulate. Of course, now they're known as Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
But here you got an organization which went so far, the earlier civil rights leaders did not go for it. Not even the radical Black Panthers didn't even go for the mess that was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And they even, you know, they fought against it. But nowadays, the abortion has been coming to the black community and has been sold to us. I tell people it's Jonestown Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
They put a little sweetener to it as if they're coming to help the community out. But killing off a child doesn't help a community out at all.
That's right. That's
and
right.
What we've seen, you're talking about the voting rights, you know, talking about voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing oppresses voter rights than abortion. It's
mm-hmm.
the biggest voter suppression that ever goes in the country. Losing our children at a rate of over 1,452 a day.
Say that number one more. This is the number of black babies are being
black
aborted every day. What is
day,
that number?
1,452.
Hmm.
That's average.
Every single day.
Every single day. What I'm saying to you is you got to within a 3-day period or even less, more black babies have been aborted than was ever lynched by the KKK.
Hmm.
And that is that's a sad thing. You know, it's eugenics. It's a system where some people think they are much better than others. They're elitist, and the bad part of it is,
Dr. Hunt, I'm gonna have to jump in here right quick. We've got a break coming up. I want you to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Dr. Johnny Hunter. We'll be right back after this break.
You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus described his church in this way. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. ISIS brags about kidnapping a Catholic priest in Yemen and threatens to crucify him on Good Friday. Christians targeted in Lahore, Pakistan, killing at least 65 people, mostly women and children. Suicide bombers in Brussels, Belgium. Jihadists in Paris, France. San Bernardino, California. The Boston Marathon. Fort Hood. The common thread between these attacks? Islamic Jihad. Regardless if the president acknowledges it or not. The world is getting darker, but the antidote to this darkness will never be political. It's spiritual. Instead of waiting for someone to turn on the light, it's time for you and I to be the light.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This whole idea of, I'm an independent woman, I got me, I got this, is not something a woman of God should say, or any believer for that matter. Today's society is so focused on self-indulgence that seeking the Lord and His will is so last decade. A life full of purpose and blessings can only occur for those who are like Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells the Lord, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a person's mind, but it is the counsel of the Lord which will stand." The thing is, a fulfilled life is one who seeks the Creator of life. To sum it up, don't go after your dreams. Go after what God has called you to do. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution enter into the abortion debate?
It certainly does, Chris. In fact, evolution has long been used as the justification for abortion. Even today in abortion clinics, young pregnant girls are told about an evolutionary concept called embryonic recapitulation, in which the fetus, as it grows in the mother's womb, remembers its evolutionary ancestry. And at one point, it's just a fish. And it's okay to kill a fish, so you can abort in those months. What's the harm? In such a way, many are deceived into murdering their unborn children. But the fetus is a person. Humans were created in the image of God. The human fetus is just not finished growing yet, but it's human in every sense, both scientifically and biblically. So you see, Chris, even modern societal issues go back to Genesis for more understanding.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Denying place, you feel life's useless, it's just a vicious race. Do you remember Esther, how her beauty saved a nation? So did Joseph's dream interpretation. Appearance. in command. Though it doesn't seem clear, you know he has a plan. Why do you think Moses was discovered in that basket? And why was Daniel taken as a captive? There's a promise.
Music of Patricia Hannah, the song There's a Purpose, a song beautifully performed. Of course, the musician is Dr. Johnny Hunter himself, and that's his wife, Patricia Hunter. Dr. Hunter, would you say a brief word about that song?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, tears in my eyes. Listen to it. We recorded that years ago. That song was actually written by a young lady. The words was from a 15-year-old. She was 15 years, and it was at 12 o'clock at midnight that the Lord gave me the music for that song.
Mm-hmm.
And that song says it a lot. There's a whole message behind that one. There's a purpose for every person's life, each and everything we go through, everything. God has a purpose for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it talks about Daniel, and it talks about things. But, brother, a preacher can preach behind that one.
That's right.
Because, you know, we look at somebody like Joseph. You know, here Joseph was taken captive, sold out by his brother, sold into slavery. But only, you know, he ends up in prison. Even keeping his integrity, but by the time that book is in, he goes from the prison to the palace. He is over that whole thing, and he turns around and saves his brothers and saves a whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell people, God is doing the same thing with people today. People
That's
may
right.
go through some very tough things, but I tell you, it's their legacy afterwards that makes all the difference. They mm-hmm. are here for a reason. They're here for a purpose.
That's right. We find our purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well,
amen. Amen. You know, and the thing about purpose, I want to remember what we talked about before we get back. I'll get back to silence. But,
okay.
you know, the people have to understand something. Every one of us were created by God for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at a Saul before he became Paul, when he was out there persecuting the church, you know, and the church is scattered. There was something Jesus had said right before the second chapter of Acts. He says, you're going to have power. When the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to have power. He told the church that.
Mm-hmm.
He told his apostles that. You're going to have power. You're going to be witness to me in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But when the day of Pentecost fell, they had such a wonderful time in Jerusalem. They didn't go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go nowhere. People was getting saved by the thousand. People were just getting, and it was a wonderful time, like a big breakout, more than any kind of revival. And they weren't going anywhere. And then Saul persecutes the church, and they scatter.
That's right.
What is interesting is where they scatter to, Jerusalem. Yeah, they are already there, but they go to Samaria and Judea and other most parts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
They scatter because of what he did. Then when Saul became Paul, after that Damascus road experience, he became one of the greatest apostles, and a lot of the Bible that we read in the New Testament was written by him.
That's right.
And the letters and things were... And he's helped spread the gospel. The truth of it is, that man was born to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
When he was God's enemy, he persecuted the church and helped spread the gospel.
That's
when
right.
he was God's friend and became a servant of God, he became a gospel writer and mm-hmm. an apostle, and he helped spread the gospel even to this day. He was born to spread the gospel. And I tell people, you are going to fulfill your purpose, your destiny, while you were born.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you have to decide, are you going to do it as God's enemy, or are you going to do it as God's friend?
That's right.
But nevertheless, you will fulfill the purpose for which you was born.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I think of this too, Dr. Hunter, that as you talk about purpose for every individual, we think of the tragedy, one of the many tragedies behind abortion is that who knows how many Dr. Martin Luther King's or Rosa Parks have been aborted because they were killed before they ever were given the opportunity to live out their purpose and the life calling that God had on their lives. And tragically, abortion takes the lives of so many precious boys and girls every day. And there's so much more the church needs to be doing to help end this tragedy in our culture.
Yes, you know, and that's exactly right. You know, and even during the time of King, there was Brett Shuttlesworth and a lot of other pastors, you know, Ralph Abernathy, the works. And also there was Dr. Martin Luther King's own brother. Mm-hmm. They called him A.D. King. His real name was Alfred Daniel King. Mm-hmm. And of course, after they killed King, A.D. King was killed, killed, you know. They found him dead in his own pool of water, and nobody really knows what happened.
Right.
You know, they made sure after King's death that anybody other civil rights leaders that died wasn't quite as obvious as King's was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, Dr. A.D. King's daughter is alive to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Alfreda King.
Mm-hmm.
And people try to marginalize what she says, but she is one of the most powerful speakers for children who are yet to be born.
That's right.
You know, because Martin Luther King said, I have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I want to see a nation where, he said, I have a dream that one day little black boys and girls will be holding hands with little white boys and girls. He said, Eli, I have a dream that my four little children may one day live in a nation where they not be judged by the color of their skin, by the country. You know, and Alvita saying, what abortion does, it destroys the dream.
That's right. That's right.
It destroys the dream because it destroys the children, the benefactors of that dream.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Alvita King has made it a legacy to keep the dream alive.
That is so true. And, you know, she does a powerful job of just really explaining how that, without question, the life issue is a very important matter of civil rights. And she beautifully expresses just the reality that the church is supposed to respect and help protect the civil rights of the babies in the womb.
Exactly, and that's where we get back to being silent again. Because the one thing that there's a time that the church needs to speak out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when it's, especially when they see a great injustice, and they have to notice what an injustice is. When in time you can kill a person before it takes that first breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And people talk about, well, you know, we need Voter Rights Act, that we need all, and we need to make sure that the schools are safe and good education, all that. But what good is education for a dead black child?
That's right.
What good
is
Voter Rights Act for a dead black child?
Mm-hmm.
What good is anything the civil rights movement has ever gained if you're going to kill the child before it can have the first taste of their mother's milk?
Mm.
There comes a time that the church has begun to say, whoa, no way, we're not going to stand by while this is going on. We're not going to be silent. We're going to care.
That's right.
You see, if you love someone, you speak on their behalf, even when they can't speak.
Mm-hmm. Like
you stand
so.
Up for them, even when they can't say anything. You know, when I was telling you about Dr. LaVon Ewell, I heard him preach a message once, and he was like King in so many ways. A lot of times, preachers nowadays, they preach a long 45-minute sermon and all these, and an hour and old. And, you know, people like me, I like to preach long at times, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the most profound speakers are those who don't have to take that long. They can say in 15 to 10 minutes what it is, and you remember it for life.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. King was one of those. So is Dr. LaVon Ewell. He's from Ypsilanti, Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time he reached into Exodus 23. That's a very, if you, sometime after listening to broadcast, read that Exodus 23.
Exodus chapter 23.
Yeah, Exodus 23, and it starts out talking about you should not circulate a false report. Don't put your hand to do wicked with unrighteousness. You should not follow a crowd to do evil. That's why riots and all this stuff ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
But he used a verse 4. It said, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the donkey or one who hates you lying under his burden and you will refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he brought that thing home, He was saying, if you saw your enemy's donkey in trouble, you cannot look the other way.
That's right.
You can't look the other way, because it's later on in this thing that talks to keep out false mouth. But it's that this one is right in the 6th verse and 7th verse of that same chapter. It says, do not kill the innocent and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right in that same thing is trying to tell you what you can't do while somebody else is dying. You cannot look the other way. If that applies to helping out your enemy's donkey, mm-hmm. you know it applies to helping out little children.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
Even, you know, we always learn about, we talk about the Good Samaritan. I say only God is good. It was a compassionate Samaritan that helped that mm-hmm. man that fell among thieves on that Jericho road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that Samaritan did what he can. The difference, you know, we talk about the Levite, the Levite, the priest, but there was one difference. That Samaritan did not look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, what is happening right now, the reason we have 1,452 black children put to death is because we've got folks in the church who will look the other way while it's going down.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't continue to do that. Not if we love the children.
That is
not
so
if we
tragic.
Love them. If we really love them, we'll speak out for them. If you know a young lady is pregnant, and she might not even be married, you know, there'll be a time that you can talk to her about that.
Mm-hmm.
But ain't upon a point you bring her to such condemnation that the girl feels so embarrassed, so ashamed, that she'll run down to Planned Parenthood or something to try to get rid of the baby so people don't know what sin she done got caught up in.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. there comes a time you have to be, if you love what I said, when you love somebody, even if they do something that's not right, you still love them.
That's right.
You
that
still
so
love
true.
Them. You see that child and she's going through something. And you know she's pregnant. Okay, no, she's not married. But, honey, we love you anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
We love you anyhow. We're going to see you through this, and we're going to see that child through this. That love goes a long ways.
Amen.
It goes a long ways. You
that
know, and I would challenge young ladies out there, too. Be picky about which young man. That in when I was in South Africa, in Guyana, I love what the young ladies had. They said, no ring, no thing.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a time you need to, I say, any young ladies out there, if you're a virgin, remain so.
Mm-hmm.
Save yourself for your marriage night.
That's right. That's
sex
right.
is good, honey, but it's better when it doesn't have any other consequences coming up behind it.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. and so I would just say, just go ahead and just save yourself. But if you are a young lady, too, and you're hearing this broadcast, and you are expecting, have the child.
Mm-hmm.
I would say go ahead and quit the guy that did it. If he's not standing with you, you drop him, but don't drop your baby.
Amen. Amen.
See, you know, that there's a little child that needs mother's protection. It needs someone to love, someone to care, someone to pray. The safest place for any human being should at least be in their mother's womb.
Amen.
Don't let somebody rob you of this, because now we're finding out after women do it, they realize they've killed their own baby, they murdered their baby. And they're not feeling good. The consequences that happen afterwards is detrimental, and it's not worth it.
Hmm.
So, and I'm saying this, and even if somebody in the past, if you have a boy in the past, God is willing to forgive.
That's right.
But you need to go to a place where there's a Christian. I don't care if it's a crisis pregnancy center or a help center, or either go to some pastor or they have to sit down and talk with you, but you need to go ahead and come and open up with them. Because
mm-hmm.
it's the hiding of that thing that you've done. That's the thing that eats away at you.
That's right.
Believe
That's
me, right. there's not one person here on earth that can send you to heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody here who are Christians want to make sure everybody else get there. And we only do that through forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times the enemy will hold you hostage to something you've done in the past that God is totally willing to forgive you for. But you have to be willing to let go and own up to it.
That is so true, so true. Dr. Hunter, I tell you, we're coming up on a break again, but on the other side of the break, as we enter our last segment, I want to ask if you'll take time to really pray for believers that are listening, to pray that God would open their eyes and their hearts to see that there's something all of us can do. There are plenty of things all of us can do to help stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion, and that all of us are called to be a part of that. So we'll give you the opportunity to pray on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Dr. Johnny Hunter, the National Director of LEARN. We'll be right back.
I'm Karen, a wife, a mother, a business owner. Needless to say, I'm very busy. Sometimes I scarcely get everything done. That's why I love the hour of intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. He reminds me to stop and take time to pray and read God's word. His encouragement is great. I carry it with me everywhere I go.
The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. Weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Hello, it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Why doesn't God protect us from people who mistreat us? Dr. Tony Evans says he does, but not before he's through using them to help us. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Those of you who have dogs probably have a leash for your dog. Your leash for your dog grants him a degree of freedom. Depending on how long the leash is, that's how free he is to move about. But there comes a point where he wants to go too far based on the length you have allowed for the leash. He wants to go beyond what has been allowed. And so he pulls to go further this way when you don't want to go that way. When he stretches the leash out too far, he's going to get a neck ache. Because he's going to come against a resistance. He's going to come against the resistance. And if he keeps insisting on going his own way, you're going to jerk it back this way and show him you're controlling where this direction is going. The folk who are messing with you are on a leash. The folk who are really, some of your bosses are on a leash. Some of your neighbors are on a leash. Some of your family members are on a leash. They just ain't hit that length yet. Because a sovereign God, when they hit that lane, whoom. So then why is God letting it happen? Because God uses evil to accomplish good. That's uncomfortable, but God used that thing to bring me to this location.
Learn more about what God can teach you as you navigate the unexpected twists and turns of life. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Joseph, Detours to Destiny, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Lover of my soul, he found me broken and made me
music of Covenant Church, the song I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest is Dr. Johnny Hunter. Let me remind you before Dr. Hunter comes back, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is an excellent day to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. Remember, the Bible is many, many things to us. It's our guidebook. It's a source of strength, empowerment, guidance, direction, counsel. It's the mind of God, the heart of God, and as you read and meditate on it, it's that which helps you grow up and grow strong and become a vibrant servant in the hands of the Lord. Today is a good day to start that habit of reading His Word each and every day. Dr. Hunter, in this last segment, I'm going to ask if, as we start off, would you take time to pray for our listeners that they grow in their understanding of the need for us to become passionately involved with the importance of addressing the civil rights issue of standing for life? Would you pray for that?
Yes, but before I pray, let me just say a little something about prayer, because sometimes I don't pray too long, and the reason I don't pray long because God doesn't hear it based on how long you're praying or how loud you're praying out, but what's the richness? How bad do you really want what you're praying for? You know, it's like, you know, somebody will say, well, you know, I need this bill paid, you know, somebody, okay, we're going to pray for you, had it bill, you know. But then a mother's child gets hit by a car, and she see that car hit. Wow, it's the Lord. Just that one word she called out
is
more powerful than a whole hour of praying. You know, in other words, how deep and that rich. Now, if you think it's that rich, let me tell you, think about if we take more than a minute each day, just all throughout the day, every hour come up with a reason to just pray. God hears.
That's right.
And the way God hears is going to be peculiar times of what God hears. Sometimes you're praying for somebody else, and God is hearing their prayer. Genesis 21, verse, let me just read a little 16 through 17, just to give an idea of one of the most peculiar verses in the Bible.
Okay.
And she went, this is when Hagar was pushed out. You know, and always, there's another whole story. We always tell men, you only thought he had one wife. That's it.
That's right.
Every time you see in the Bible some man goes and the two women, there's always going to be a problem. So it was with Abraham and Sarah. But Hagar had Abraham's child. And there came a time when Sarah really did have her own child, and so this was the child of promise, that she sent Hagar out. And the Bible says, Genesis 21, I'll read verse 16 and 17, she went and sat down against him a good way off as were a bow shot. Because here she was out into a desert place, no food, no drink, no water, and they're about to die. And she, you know how far you can shoot an arrow. That's how far she put that child away, and she went up. She said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice, and she cried, just like any mother would. A mother cries when she thinks her child is going to die. And the Bible, verse 17, says something to you. It says, and God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called Hagar and said, what aileth thy Hagar? She said, fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Or was her prayer, but it was God hearing the voice of that child wanting to live. And that child was probably unconscious and couldn't even pray, like talking about it. All he had was just that will to live. And so as I pray with everybody, I really want us, And when I say us, I'm talking about us as a nation, blacks, whites, the whole works, as a nation that has a heart that we want to live. I am seeing death do such a travesty. It looks like not only killing the children while they're in their mother's womb, but we got what's happening in Chicago is just as bad, where we're killing each other on the street. You know, and people are blaming police shootings and all these things going on. But this is just too much killing. There comes a point where we must desire to live.
That's right.
And so let us pray, because I don't want to just live in this life. I want to live in the life that's to come too.
Amen.
Almighty God,
thank you, Lord.
We bow our heads right now for a moment. And Lord, we hope that people understand the value of life. And we pray, Almighty God, that you would instill people the reason.
Yes, Lord.
You, Lord Jesus, you said you came that they may have life and that more abundantly.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And Almighty God, we desire the life that you want to give us.
Thank you, Lord.
We desire the life on this side of life and on the other side when we pass away here.
Thank you, Lord.
We want to have eternal life with you.
Yes, Lord.
And Almighty God, we know in order to have that, our conscience must be right.
Thank you,
Lord. Our faith in you and the blood that was shed for our sin and transgression must be accepted. And Lord, not only that, we need to have a life that walks our talk.
Yes, Lord.
So Almighty God, give our nation, give each one of us that spark of conscience where we will not be silent while somebody else is being slaughtered.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, Jesus. We pray that in the way we address it, we'll do it in a right way. We won't move out
Thank
with
you,
hate.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We won't move out because we're mad. We'll move out because we're sad and our heart is aching and we love.
Yes, Lord.
Not only
Jesus,
do we love those that are here, but we love our brothers and sisters who are yet to be born.
Thank you, Lord.
Almighty God, give us that fire in the belly that you gave the earlier civil rights leaders.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we pray that you will bless us to have that compassion
Jesus.
For life.
Thank you.
Lord, we want to, we know we can never love as much as you, but we sure
Thank
want
you,
to love like you.
Yes, Lord.
Where you loved us so much that you laid down your life that we might live.
Thank you, Lord.
Almighty God, let everyone who called themselves a member of the church get to that point where they are willing to lay down their lives.
Yes, Lord.
In order that others may live.
Thank you.
Help
Thank
us,
you.
Lord, to come to a real thing. Lord, don't let us just celebrate valuable people you sent to this nation like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
But let us be taking it as an example and let us step in that same step.
Thank you.
Where we'll lay aside a whole lot of other things. To work our best, to work along
Thank
with
you,
people
Lord,
as
Jesus,
much as possible, to live
Thank
at
you,
peace
Lord.
With others.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we pray that you will bless us to have compassion for others.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless
Jesus,
us, Almighty Lord. God, that even when we do that which is righteous, we'll be willing to go to jail for it. We'll
yes,
lay down
Lord,
our lives
Jesus,
for it. Help us, Lord, to wake up and live.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
And Almighty God, when you do this for us, we will give you the praise, honor, and glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we know to bring something this horrible to an end.
Thank you, Lord.
It ain't something we can do. With you, all things are possible.
Yes,
and we
Lord.
Totally rely on you.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And let me just say to all of our listeners, too, Dr. Hunter just alluded to this. There might be some listening today that have maybe never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart as their Lord and Savior. And, of course, if you don't know Christ, again, you can't comprehend truth and walk in it as well. And so before our time comes to an end, I want to invite any person that's listening. If you've never made that all-important step of asking Christ to come in, I want to invite you just to pray this prayer along with me, because today is a good day to get saved, whether it's Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday or any day, but today being this day, we want to invite you to pray this. Would you pray it with me? Just simply pray the prayer along with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and I've done wrong in many ways. I repent, Lord. Forgive me for all my wrong. And Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, I open my heart and my whole life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And let me say to every person listening,
salvation, if you accept it, he is so willing to forgive.
That's right. That's right.
I tell people, all you got to do is look at the thief that was on that cross,
mm-hmm.
going in his final hours. He said, Lord, remember, and Jesus said, today you can be with him in paradise. Boy, you're talking about being so easy to forgive. I don't care what it is you've done in the past. There's time for a new day, a new walk, a new talk.
That's right.
And I tell you, I hope you prayed that prayer with Reverend Parker. And even if you didn't pray the prayer now, pray it later.
That's right.
I mean, if a few minutes from now you say, yes, I do want to start a new day, I do want to start a new walk, go ahead and pray.
Amen.
And find you a good church. And I'll tell people, go ahead and get baptized, too. Go ahead. Go for it all.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Just enjoy yourself and a new walk with the Lord. And whatever you do, don't let hypocrites get between you and God.
That's
I heard an old preacher say one time, if a hypocrite get between you and God, guess which one is closer to God? So don't let it happen. You just keep on walking.
That's right. That's right. Let me say to any person that took the time to pray that prayer again, I want to give you my email address. We want to be sure and send you some information, some literature that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your faith. Simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And we want to be sure and send that. Let us know that you made that step, and also we want to send you some literature that will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Dr. Hunter, our time is almost gone. You know, you made a statement. You indicated that Planned Parenthood kills more black babies. I think, and I'm going to try to say it the way you said it, Planned Parenthood kills more black babies in just a few days than the KKK killed in 150 years. Would you real briefly elaborate on that before our time comes to an end?
Yes. The number of blacks that was lynched all total only comes up to pretty close, almost 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the high number. That's not even high. Usually it's 2,000 or something. Planned Parenthood, by the time they're finished, they can do that in 3 days. They can knock out to me, I hate even thinking about it.
Right. To think
that they can do this. The thing about that made Dr. King and Fred Shuttlesworth and all those other civil rights leaders so great, because back in the days they used to lynch people. And the bad part of about it, people knew they were lynching them, and they were saying nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there rose up a set of leaders who decided not to be silent.
That's right.
They began to speak out against the lynching.
Amen.
In fact, one of the biggest opponents of lynching was the guy who was the pastor of the church before Martin Luther King became the pastor of that church.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to realize is that once they start speaking out and people start becoming conscious, people say, no, we're not going to go along with it. We're not going along with it. I am telling people that abortion is womb lynching.
That's right. Dr. Hunter, our time is just about completely gone. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, it's been a privilege to have you. Again, Dr. Johnny Hunter is the National Director of Life Education Resource Network. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.